Our Father, we ask and we receive this afternoon as we study the subject matter. The subject matter remains the person of Jesus Christ, your Son. Now our hearts embrace Him. Once again, know Him and walk in fruitful fellowship with Him. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Okay, James 1. I believe we laid a foundation yesterday from James 1. And we'll just kick off from there. James 1:15 or James 1:5. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives unto all or all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. We said that this already shows that answered prayers is not an exclusive privilege to believers. I thought that was clear yesterday. It's not an exclusive privilege to believers. And so, he says, let him ask of God who gives unto all men liberally and upbraids not. So we began to look at the incidences in the Old Testament. You know, this teaching must be safely married with the law in Genesis 1-4. And of course, law and prophets, where we looked at the prophets. And we're teaching it presently now. And so, it appears like whilst we can resolve the utterances, we keep having this issue with the exploits under the Old Testament. That's why yesterday we began. We went back to Genesis again, remember? To uncover the incidences in Genesis 3. I thought that was clear yesterday. Huh? Okay. So, one important thing is, man's estate includes angels. You can't talk about man and not include angels. Like we said, angels were created for man. So, let us race back to the very end. That is, we have gone to the Old Testament. So, let's come back to the epistles. Hebrews 12 and 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Quickly observe something, which we saw yesterday. The writer of Hebrews paints two pictures. He paints the picture of Sinai in verse 19 or from 18. You are not come to the mount that might not be touched, and that burned with fire, nor with blackness, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Now, unto tempest. He says, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which they which heard entreated that the word will not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, already that's the law, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So, there's a fundamental word here. It says, I fear. It's a strange word, okay? When he says, I fear, is the word ekphobos, E-K-P-H-O-B-O-S. It means terrified. It means to be full of fear. Mark's Gospel 9:6 is a reference of that. To be full of fear. However, we have another fear mentioned much later in that same chapter, as it were, in verse 28. Let us serve that we may, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we have terrifying fear and then we have godly fear. A godly fear. So we can have a fear that is not godly. Obviously the fear that is godly does not bring torment. It's reverence. You find that word phobos. It was used in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of God we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Phobos. Acts 9:31. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Terror of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. So you see, when he says fear of the Lord, he's not talking about terrifying fear. He's talking about reverence. So whenever you see the word fear, phobos, you must look at the contextual usage. For example, Romans 8:15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So that fear is called bondage. Bondage, not reverence. 1 John 4:17, we have boldness in the day of judgment. As is our way in this world, but there is no fear in love. He that feareth is not perfected in love. So, two things you also see, it mentions two kind of words. Hebrews 12:20, they could not endure that which was commanded. Hebrews 12:19, the voice of words. Hebrews 12:24, that speaks better than Abel. So it talks about the blood of Jesus speaking, and then it talks about the speaking in verse 19 and 20. So the two things will represent the two testaments. The Old Testament written and engraven in stones, and then the New Testament written in our heart. One, he said, he commanded. The other one, he speaks better. So those are two words from two mounts, Sinai and Zion. Again, like we did yesterday, we took out those who spoke there. And I mentioned yesterday how the law was given, the interaction between Moses and the angel. Now look at 22 again. The innumerable company of angels. He says, you have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews 12:22, and to an innumerable company of angels. That word innumerable is from the word Murias, M-U-R-I-A-S, where you have myriads. Actually, literally, that word is called 10,000. 10,000. But whenever you see it used in a figure of speech, it's figurative. Whenever it is used as a figure of speech, it means uncountable or in something you cannot count. So that's why it's figure of speech. Innumerable. Murias. You see it used. Acts 19:19 is used as tens of thousands. Acts 19:19. Why? Because that was the way they measured in many things. Ten. Either in ten or 10,000s. Luke's Gospel 12 as well. Luke's Gospel 12:1. An innumerable multitude of people. 12:1. So it starts from 10,000 and above. When it starts mentioning innumerable. Acts 19, I mentioned that. Verse 19. So if you take that literally, you probably will say the angels are 10,000. But they are not. Acts 19:19. It says, they found 50,000 pieces of silver. So it's in, same word is there, Murias. This one is now 50. That means it is in what? Tens of thousands. Do you understand? The same word is Murias there. 50,000. Acts 21:20, many thousands of Jews. That is many 10,000s. Then James 1:14. Revelation 9:16, two times, just mentioned twice. So, you will see that when man is mentioned in redemption, apart from man there, Spirit of Just Memory, General Assembly, you will see that angels were part of man's estate. So whatever happened to man affects angels. They are part of man's estate. Why were they so mentioned? Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Remember that ministering? Lithogios, spirits, sent forth. What's the word sent forth? Apostelomena, sent forth, commissioned. That is not that they are always being commissioned. It refers to their responsibility to minister, diakonia, to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So, we have cut out the work of angels that they are to minister for, which means lithogios is to stand to take instruction, or to stand to minister to, or to stand to talk on behalf of, or to stand to listen to. They now says to minister diakonia, to wait upon. So in the making of angels, they are to read man to know what to do. They are to read man to know what to do. And let me say this. If every creature of God functions by knowledge, you cannot exempt angels. They need to know. They need to know. Are you there? They need to know. So, Paul, in Galatians 1:8, and though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So he mentions an angel from heaven. I believe we saw it heaven yesterday. Huh? So Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels. The first thing, preaching of angels. So, we have a right to despise utterances of angels. You get that? Galatians 1:8. You can say, let him be accursed. Accursed means what? Do not touch it. Right? So, you have a right not to refer, regard what an angel says. So again, he says in a voluntary worshipping, humility of the worshipping of angels. So, this is, we have gone to the end. Okay? The end says, in Zion, where men are called saints of God, angels are innumerable. So let's go back to Genesis again. Because what we are explaining is what happened in the Old Testament. We have seen that angels function there. We have retired the issue of the evil angels. Remember that? We retired that one. So what we're investigating are the good ones. The elect angels, right? Those who did not sin. We are investigating those ones. So, our first mention will be Genesis 16. Where, that's not the first place angels acted. It's just the first place the word was used. Genesis 16. I'm going to read verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. That is the case of Agai and Sarah. Then verse 9. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hand. Then verse 10. I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it will not be numbered for multitude. Then verse 11, the angel said, behold, thou art with the child, and shall bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So, who did the angel respond to? Agar So the angel was responding to a desire of Hagar. By the time you read the epistles, Ishmael was called of the law. Ishmael does not have a good mention in the epistles. But this angel acted on Hagar's request. Are you following me? On her request. Return, it says to her. Now, pay attention, please. You will see that this is a singular use of angel, just one. Genesis 22, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God. So that's not God talking. Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Hallelujah. Okay? So, the angel, pay attention here, acting within his interaction again with Abraham. Okay? That's the angel here. Genesis 20. I've gone to 22. I was supposed to go to 21. 21 first. That was fast. 21 verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel called to Hagar out of heaven. What aileth thou, Hagar? Fear not, for God had heard the voice of the lad where he is. Again, you will see that it was the voice of the lad. Remember we said, the hearkening to sounds. Remember that? How many sounds did we discover yesterday? About 4,000. Is it 4,000? Huh? 4,000 ways angels could react in the Old Testament. 4,000. Remember the word choir? 4,000. So, as men were speaking, angels were what? Acting. And the same way they will speak, the same way a prophet under the old covenant will speak ignorantly, angels spoke that way. Now I know you fear God, because he didn't hear, hold your son from me. You and I know that God didn't ask him for his son. So, how many people were confused there? Both Abraham and the angel. Are you following this? Is somebody learning that? Though both of them were confused. They were both in a dimmed light. You know what we saw yesterday? A dimmed light. Amen? So Genesis 22, we're there. You have not held your son. Blessed are blessed, I will multiply thee. Thy son shall see upon the seashore, the sea shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, the angel was recanting something Abraham himself said. So, this angel does not interact directly with God. Now, look at Hebrews 11. You will see that, pay attention please. You will see that in Hebrews 11, okay, in Hebrews 11 particularly, what the angel said was not what was called faith. What was called faith was Abraham acting on the gospel. That was called faith. Abraham acting on the gospel. And the same thing with James. Let's leave that. Look at chapter 24. Chapter 24. Verse 7. Abraham said unto him, beware, thou hast bring not my son either again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and look, pay attention to this one, and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and swore unto me, saying,
unto thy seed shall I give this land. He shall send his angels before me, angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence.
So, he himself was interacting with angels, or particularly an angel.
Verse 40. The Lord whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son and of my kindred and of my father's house.
So he relied on the activities of those angels. Chapter 31, verse 11.
And the angel of God spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. Lift up your eye. And it went on and on. That's the angel speaking to him. Look at chapter 48, just 1, verse 16. The angel which redeemed me from evil, this is Jacob speaking, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow in the multitude of the earth. Now notice, the angel that did what? Redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Okay? And let my name be named on them. Pay attention. Notice that each individual related with a particular angel. In this instance. A particular angel. Now, what was Jacob referring to? He was referring to the incidents in Genesis 28:15. From 13 downward to 15. That's the angel he was referring to. So, those are singular angelic activities. One with Abraham. One, now, it appears like the one with Abraham was the one with Hagar. Right? The one with Abraham was the one with Hagar. Then, it did not appear like that is the same angel that was with Jacob. It appeared this was another angel entirely. But let's forge ahead. Look at Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. You discover that one stayed with Abraham out of three. That's the one that has been consistent with him. That one is used to him. There came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Okay? And he said, Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And he said, Nay, but will abide in the street all night. Pay attention. So, we found out that there was an interaction between himself and look at 15. 15. And in the morning, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are there, that thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, do you notice that the response of those angels was from someone? Who? Lot. You know, that angel. What the angel in 18 told Abraham was, I have heard. Are you following this? I have heard the cry. Their sin is great. Who was talking about their sin? Lot. Remember 2 Peter 2? Right? Remember 2 Peter 2? Who was vexed? Alright? And then was preaching. Remember that? We said that yesterday. So, that action was prompted He was prompted. Go to second. Okay, let's go to second Peter 2. Let's read that. 2 Peter 2. I have heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. This is an angel talking. Do you understand? I will now go myself. So there was a sound from Sodom. Who was making the sound? It was Lot. There was a sound from Sodom. That was why that was the only person they rescued. 2 Peter 2. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation, verse 7, of the wicked, that the righteous man, dwelling among men, verse 8, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. So his preaching, get one kind. He was distressed, catapulted, remember that one? He was worn out. As he was talking, and they were mocking at him, he was vexing. And then he called for judgment. That's Lot. He called for judgment. Now, look at this quickly. Again, look at where the issue of Sodom has been discussed. I took you to Matthew 10, and we saw that the issue of Sodom was what? Ezekiel said it was hospitality. That they who were they not hospitable to? Eh? Who did they not receive? It was Lot. The issue of Sodom was Lot. That's why, in comparing it, Jesus said, when you leave a place and they don't accept you, leave. Dust the dust of your sandal. And say it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom than those days. What is he talking about? Dishonor to someone who has brought a message to you. It wasn't about angel, it was about Lot. As Lot left, destruction happened. I'm going to see it. As Lot left. So, it was whatever happened was prompted by Lot. So, Abraham, who ought to have come, you know that Abraham's intercession is not a reference by anybody. Because that was, you just did nonsense. It was not a reference by anybody. By anybody. Only Lot was mentioned in Sodom. You won't hear about Abraham and Sodom. Are you there? Are you following? Only Lot was mentioned. So go to Romans 9. Romans 9:29. Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we will be seen as Sodom and be made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed after righteousness had attained to righteousness, even righteousness of faith. But Israel had followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. What was he discussing here? Again, he was discussing the issue of unbelief. And that's where he brings in Sodom. Unbelief. So, when you hear Lot seeing, 2 Peter 2, the word seeing is blema, to look and glance, and hearing, akohe, used 24 times, which is about a news or a reporting. So, Lot was preaching. Obviously, Lot's preaching had judgmental tones. Right? Are we together? Lot's preaching was judgmental. Because he's called the righteous Lot. And he's one. Interestingly and funnily, his daughters escaped and they are not righteous. Abi? In fact, to know the kind of person that Lot was, you see, look at this. Let's see it. Genesis 19. You know, Genesis 19, he got so drunk, okay, that he laid with his children. Not one, no, the two. Let me ask you. Let me ask you.
If it was gay, that was the issue. Gay and incest is two daughters. Someone said, but he was drunk. Ah. Was he drugged? Look at this. So, Lot's exemption in Sodom was righteousness through faith. Whatever he did in Sodom was righteousness through faith. So let's go back again, Genesis 18. Are you following? Are you following? 18. Verse 1 to 2. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre and sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes, and lo, three men stood by him, and he saw them. He ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed towards them. Okay? Three men. Look at verse 7. 17, sorry. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I do? Who is talking to him? Huh? What was the angel going to do? Huh? Who called the angel? Okay? So the angel interacted with Abraham because they've known. And Abraham is saying, what if you do this? What if you do that? Okay? And eventually, the place was destroyed. For whatever reasons Abraham had, anyway. So it says in verse 20, their sin is very grievous. Remember that word is chatter, C-H-A-T-T-A-H, used for error 294 times. Okay, he said, I've heard their cry, which is a distress. Now I have a challenge with that thing, because I'm wondering, I've heard their cry, which is a distress. A distress, you know, according to the cry of it. My point is that, let's look at it together. That cry, which I mentioned to you, if I wrote in my note, is a distress call. Genesis 27:34 is the word Issequa, Issequah. Is it of Lot or of the people? Huh? Is it Lot or the people? Their sin is great. Chata. You know the point was, when I said their sin is great, this is 18. People have said that the reason why they were destroyed is because they tried to rape the men, the angels. But that had not happened here now. Are you following? So, who was reporting Sodom? Huh? Lord, is it likely that he is the one they heard this distress call? Is it likely it is Lot? I'm only asking, you know, because I wrote in my note, I said, it is likely it's Lot. That's what I said. Okay? So, when Abraham is asking for righteous men, or which righteous men do you think he will be asking for? Righteous by conduct? No. He doesn't have a good example. He made money by lying. I showed you this morning on two occasions. Right? Both with Pharaoh and Abimelech. That's how Abraham made money. Abraham's blessings. He lied and he used his wife. He gave his wife to Pharaoh to sleep with. So that he will obtain, you're like, give it better of Nigeria, your wife, as your sister. So he now begins to give him money as his brother-in-law. That's how Abraham became rich. Because he left a land that was famine and lack. He ran away to Egypt and he went to life. When he also went to Abimelech, it was the same thing he did. But Abimelech said, don't touch her. So you know that Pharaoh must have. He's used to it. His wife gave him a dancer. It's a normal thing. Abraham's blessing. So Abraham has to just be righteous by faith alone. But Abraham has many sons. I am one of them. Not me and you. We are trashing Abraham. Who is he? Who is he? A believer. I'm not that believer. You know, before Abraham I am, they got angry. They said, who is Abraham? It was Abraham. The second time, I mean, my girl said, ah, why did you lie? He said, they actually is not a lie like that. The guy just has sweet mouth. He said, she's actually my sister, but not my father's. Not my father's, not my mother. Abimelech again gave him plenty sheep and everything. Just go. So Abraham left with everything. Two occasions. And you know, it is his wealth that Isaac inherited. So by the time he got to Jacob, he ran off. Esau had more wealth than Jacob because Isaac ran away. Sorry, Jacob ran away. Esau had wealth. Jacob had to go and walk. So it's not, there's nothing mysterious about it, okay? Amen? Let's go further. Solomon's wealth was, we'll visit it one day. You won't want his wealth again. When we visit it, we visit it very one by one like this. You won't even desire it. Jesus said that the flowers are more arrayed than him. And he gave a reason. Let's go further. So whose cry would it have been? It couldn't have been, I'm wondering, could it be the folks? Well, it looks like it's Lot. Okay? So the righteous Abraham was talking about is righteous by faith. Right? Because the first time you hear declared righteous in Genesis 15:6, and that is by faith. Okay, are you there? And because Abraham knew the gospel. The gospel will be, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that word in thee means in faith. Okay, not in his body. In faith. That is, in this example of faith shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Are you there? Galatians 3:8. God having preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying unto him. Galatians 3:8. And what is the blessing of Abraham? It is not material wealth. He says the blessing of Abraham is that he sent Jesus to bless them. Acts 3:26. Turning them away from their iniquities. That is, redemption from sin. So, if Abraham is talking about righteousness, what is he talking about? Conduct? What? Thank you. Righteousness through faith. Because Lot himself, he was greedy. He was given to strife. He's a drunkard. He has very terrible libido, but by faith. Hallelujah. By faith. That's why the writer will say, look away from them. Look unto Jesus. So, every time you read about these incidents, why did it happen? We've analyzed that. Matthew 10, verse 15. Mark 6, 11 to 12. Luke 10, 12. It's a rejection of the gospel. That is why Sodom was destroyed. He was not homosexuality. You know why? Because homosexuality was not imputed in Genesis. Okay? Do you understand? Same way, and Abraham married his sister, which became a sin much later. Same way, you can go on and on. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? I was saying earlier in service that one day we have to look at the subject of sin again. I think it's important. Luke 17. Verse 29. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed. Now, Jesus used this. It mentioned three things that are synonymous. One, Noah going into the ark. Secondly, Lot leaving Sodom. And thirdly, the Son of Man being revealed at the end of the age. So, the Son of Sodom is likened unto the destruction of sinners who reject the gospel. Every time Jesus mentioned it, okay, it never referred to any particular sin. The same thing as Peter. He never referred to any particular sin. If anything Jesus talked about, it was the fact that they rejected the message. So those people calling, people at one gay club was destroyed. Gay, of course, homosexuality is a sin. No doubt. It's a, not just a sin, it's a, an unnatural use of the body. But don't give it grade A. It's not necessary. They rejected the message. Ends the justice. In Christ's case, look at what it will be in Jesus' case. Look at Matthew 10:14. Let's read it together. Matthew 10:14. I'll give you three texts of scripture. Matthew 10:14, Acts 13:51, and Acts 18:6. You see the similarity of it. So you understand what happened at in Sodom. Matthew 10:14. Are you there? Matthew 10:14. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house of sin, shake off the dust of your feet. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Okay? So that is similar to what happened in Sodom. Again, Acts 13:51. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Icomium. Why? Verse 50. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable men and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the coast. Are you there? Acts 18:6. Pay attention to this one. Let's read it together. And when they opposed themselves, Acts 18:6. What happened? And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean, and henceforth I will go Gentile. So you see what it means. So when people reject the gospel, they are accepting what? Huh? They are accepting what? Judgment. So is Sodom clear to us? Huh? Is Sodom clear to us? Very good. That's what happened at Sodom. So Lot and the angels. Now, who thinks Abraham could have saved the day? Huh? He could have now. Because he had a way around Ishmael's case. Pardon me. His child, my child. He had a way around Ishmael's case. He could have saved the day. But somehow we just stopped talking. Because the angel was waiting for him to say something. Because angels always acting towards. So the angel acting to who? Who was more consistent? Lot. Abraham was not consistent. So, when you hear fire, was the fire supernatural? It was not supernatural. The supernatural part of that fire was that you didn't see who was doing it. But the fire is in the earth. It's a physical fire. So I say, how can angels do fire? See your head. How can you make fire? It's the same thing. The only supernatural element is that you are not the one that did it. It's fire. That fire could have been quenched. Today, if they try it in a very sophisticated pillar like America, it can be quenched. But it's just fire. Is it not fire? Is it not fire? So they will also have to go, if they have to do it, they have to grow in sophistication. Do you understand? It's fire. It's not Holy Ghost fire. The only fire that cannot be quenched will be a fire that is spiritual. This is a natural fire. It's just fire. Do you understand? For example, if the people Elijah called fire upon, if they were fireproof, nothing will have happened. It is just fire. It's just what? Fire. You're like saying the bread that they gave them, that bread, if you cut it, it will not cut. It's just bread. Do you understand? You know the angel food that they gave them is spoiled. It got spoiled. And the angel of truth said, make sure that they don't, the next day, you know what they say? Why? So that the thing will not look natural. The angels like shakara. I showed you yesterday. They just like to shakara. Leave the thing. What will happen? There's a man shall only live by bed alone. Imagine. After harassing them over the same thing. By every word. Now, well, let's go further. Genesis 28. Amen. Genesis 28, 12. Are you learning something? Genesis 28, 12. We're reading all the angels in the Old Testament, so just be relaxed. We're taking it one by one. You will only find another one, anyone, after we are through. So, step by step. Amen. After we were through yesterday laying foundation, it's good to build a house now. 28:12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up and behold, the angels of God descending and ascending on. Why do you think these angels descend and ascend? What do you think they are descending and ascending? Is for what? Huh? And they said, watch this. He stood above it and said, I have the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, to thee will I give thee and to thy seed. And he went on and on. So that's another angel. And he said, Lord, I don't, of course, that's a vision. So let's move from there. 32 verse 1. Angels, he went on his way, Jacob, and the angels of God met him. And when, do you notice that? Angels are just around. That's why they ascend and descend. They're just around. You know, look at the word heaven yesterday. Heaven is what? Just an atmosphere. So they are just around. That's why you'll be seeing them around. So don't see it like one spectacular thing. Angels are in the air. You get it? They are where? They are in the air. But why are they acting so much? I gave you about 4,000 ways they could have acted yesterday. Right? Ah. Well, you know, okay, don't do it. Was it 4,000? I mean, is it 4,000 or 3,000? 3,000 or more. Yeah. 1,160. Used for obey. Daba, 1,441. Sound, coil, 407. Gibor, yep. About 3,000 ways that you could see them act. About. Because some were used for men. Okay, look at 32. And he met angels. They said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Manahim. Just calling places. The guy likes naming things all over the place. As the people say, this is your Bethel. It is you that will be going to Bethel to go and meet angels. Are you there? So, So look at his experience with this particular angel. Verse 22 to 30. When he was wrestling the angel. So see what he said. He says, I have seen God. Verse 30. Let me ask you, was it God he saw? Eh? I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That's the confusion that was on their mind. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So look at this. What were they doing? Well, he wrestled a man with him until the day breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against the man, he tore the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joints as he wrestled with him. Was it playing? Let me go for the day breaketh. And I said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. This is a theme of Christian programs. What is your name? Jacob. A name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men. Let me ask you, what name was he called in the epistles? Jacob. Huh? Did you see anybody ever call him Israel? Did Jesus call him Israel? Did anybody call him Israel in the Acts of the Apostles? He is Jacob.
Okay. Therefore, it is he that thou hast acted on him, and he blessed him there. So he passed upon Penuel, the sun arose upon him, and he altered upon his side. Now look at something funny. Look at 32. 32 is a very funny place. Because children of Israel, therefore, children of Israel eat not of the sin in which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he taught the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. How are they different from Muslims? You understand? So, these are all the incidences of angels in the entire book of Genesis. At least, if not all, almost all. The other instances will just be, maybe they are referred to as man. So we see again in their interactions with men. Obviously, you can see how men prompted them. Are you following? How men prompted them. So look at Exodus. Exodus 3. That's Moses, the great man, the man who shook the world. Exodus 3:2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses, and that angel told him to remove his shoe. What was the angel responding to? I have heard their cry, but the reason of their taskmaster of myself, are you following this? Was responding to something. For I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of, who is talking here? Is the angel. So, the angel is saying this. Pay attention. Now, you know we said this yesterday that this is a particular angel. Remember? Is a particular angel. Quickly look at chapter 14. Put your hands there. Chapter 14. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. So, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind. Who is the Lord? This is an angel. That night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. So, an angel was acting. Now, look at 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch thy hand over the water, over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. This is an angel talking. And Moses stretched forth his hand. These were guys who were trying to go back. Oh. Okay. Let's now see. They were trying to go back. And Moses showed them Pepe. Look at verse 31. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Who were they really believing? Who were they fearing? Just follow this one. When Hebrews 11 describes it, he says they are said to go in without faith. That's what he said. That they are said to go cross the sea without faith. So, the parting of the sea was by faith. But the closing wasn't faith. The closing was wrath. You see something now. Look at Exodus 23. You know, we said it's just, you know, Acts told us that it's just one angel. Remember that? Can you remember that? Just one angel. Numbers 23. We'll see that angel now. Look at this. For my angel, Numbers 23, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, and Evites, and the Jebusites, and I'll cut them off. What kind of angel is this? Look at verse 20. Let's see verse 20 together. Let's go. I have sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring them into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. If thou shalt obey his voice and do all I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary unto your enemies. So this kind of angel, he says, he gets easily provoked.
So he will not forgive. So you notice that this is the angel that helped Moses do exploits.
She will not forgive. This particular angel. Look at 32. Verse 34. Now lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf with which Aaron made. Just one angel. Notice that in the time of Moses, plurality of angels was not mentioned. Inasmuch as they were angels, there was a particular angel. Look at Acts 7:38. One angel in the church in the wilderness. Acts 7:38. Acts 7:38. We know that angel. It's the angel that was speaking in Sinai that they could not move to his voice. And we said that they normally carry the character of their partners. You discover that he and Moses were working together. Let me ask you. He and Moses were working together. Who prevented Moses from entering where? From entering Canaan. It was of no consequence. Moses had believed the gospel. The promise was not Canaan. But because of what he did, are you following my point? Which wasn't to honor God. That angel prevented him. Don't forget, that angel does not pardon. He read down, he doesn't pardon. What a description. So you see, so Hebrews 2:2, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Look at yesterday. Of reward. How shall we? I'll say there are two things. Angels, Hebrews 2:2. How shall we escape so great salvation? Hebrews 2:3. Which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord. And he was describing Moses' dispensation. Hebrews 2:2. So, just one angel is mentioned much consistently with Moses. Same thing, Exodus 33 and verse 2. Single. You just see the angel, the angel, the angel, the angel. Look at Numbers 20. Numbers 20. So, if man did not know how to love, would angels do it? If man did not forgive, would angels do it? As we saw that yesterday, they will always reflect man's spiritual status. Because they know God through man. So you know that the seeming wickedness of angels, as it were, it reflects how the men were. As Lot was vexing, angels vexed. Angels vexed. Maybe the angel that tarried with Abraham will have helped issues. But maybe Abraham still needed another woman. That man, like woman. After Agar, you see her Keturah. And I mentioned that he had. After 100 years. That man.
under Abraham. It's your own father.
Numbers 20, verse 16. And we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel that has brought us out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. He sent an angel. Just one. 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way of an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and the two servants were with him. So, in the case of Balaam, you will see the anger. Anger. I'm coming to Numbers 20 one more time. Anger. The angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards. You see, let me just read 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 31, 32, 34, and 35. In the issue of Balaam. Okay? Now, in Moses' case, you know, we saw how Moses himself was an angry person. Numbers 20. Was an angry personality. He stood before the people and struck the rock, verse 11, two times. And said, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Who was fetching the water? Was he the one doing it? So you have two angry people working together. Moses had anger. He had wrath. That was why the nature of the law reflected wrath. Romans 4:15 says, the law works wrath. But thank God for James. The wrath of man does not what? Work the righteousness of God. So if angels, the good angels, if they were angry, where did they learn it from? Where did angels get anger from? Where did angels get anger from? From Moses. It's from man. That's where they got anger from. Look at Judges 2, verse 1. When you see people like Joshua, who can kill thousands of people, and you're now wondering how angels will act. Say, see what he did. When you see a Moses, people are fighting, a Jew, an Israelite, and he killed one person. That kind of person is that. He went before Pharaoh. Look at what told Pharaoh. Let's look at what told Pharaoh. Angry personality. Exodus. Exodus 5. Said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, and they will hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And first say, who is the Lord that I may obey his voice to let the people go? I know not the Lord, neither do I let Israel. He said, the God of Hebrews, watch what he said, have met with us. Let us go. We pray thee. 3 days journey in the wilderness as far as the Lord, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword. Who said this? Did God ever tell him that? He just, you know, because of the way he was treated, he really wanted to deal with Egypt. So he took them out. All their gods, he stripped them back. And he had an angel. He would deal with you guys. Do you know that the issue of the firstborn was a revenge? That was exactly what they did to the Jews, to Israel. So it was one-one. Hallelujah. So that destroyer will be who?
Who is the destroyer? Who was the destroyer? Who was the destroyer that passed all night? Who? Moses was passing. Which destroyer destroyed? Demons or that angel? I let you conclude. So, the good angels now, did they destroy? Why would they destroy? Did they get instruction to destroy from God? If they acted, they acted like man. They acted with man. That's what I said yesterday. When, that was why the minute disciples said, let us call down fire, Jesus stopped them, because it can happen. Epitome, I told you, it doesn't mean to just rebuke that, shut up. It is to stop an incident from happening. Imagine if that had happened, we'll be in trouble. How can we explain it away? And say, it's not Jesus, it's the disciple. We are in trouble. He had to scream and say, it was going to happen because angels were waiting. They had not had a job. The other angel was too, just told Zechariah, I won't speak. You won't speak for some time. I now saw Mary and chilled. Women, shall he just chilled. The same deal. Just look at this one. That Zechariah is too old to be stupid. Judges 2. And the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you into the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto me, and the people lifted up their voice and wept. Okay? So that was an angel. Chapter 5, verse 23. Curse ye mirrors, said the angel of the Lord. Curse you bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. You find judgment. Why were they placing judgment on people? Because that's exactly what man wanted. It was death reigned from Adam to Moses. It was exactly what man wanted that they were responding to. Look at Judges 6, 11. The Lord is with thee, verse 12. The angel of the Lord said, verse 11 and 12. And Gideon said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Why all these miracles which our fathers did told us? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The angel looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. But thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? I said unto thee, O my Lord, whither will I save Israel? Because behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, thou surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Can you imagine? I will be with you. Hallelujah. Who will be with him? You go on and on till verse 22, I believe. And Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Okay? And Lord said to him, peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die. So you can see the interactions with angels. Look at verse, okay, I read verse 22 to you. Look at verse 21. No, verse 20. The angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock.
and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. The angel of the Lord departed out. So when is it fire, 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 consuming sacrifices? It's their job. The only thing that has come out of heaven is the word of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Judges 13, that's our heaven. Judges 13. The bath of Samson. I want you to study this one very well. From verse 6, you see, the bath of Samson was, there was so much angelic activity. Verse 6, a man of God came unto me, with his countenance was like of an angel of God, was very terrible. I asked him not where he was, neither told him his name. And he said, and behold, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. And now, so the angel began to give instructions. No strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. This was something Moses gave. And that is the same punishment they gave John the Baptist. So let's move further. And then the angel, now this is Judges 13, okay? Verse 6, I read verse 9. Verse 9 also, verse 13, verse 15, verse 16, okay? A man in verse 17 now said unto the angel, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. The angel said, why ask after my name? Sin is a secret. Let me ask you, how did that sound? Did it sound like it was vexed? Huh? Was it vexed? You can't tell. A man took a key immediately and offer it upon the rock to the Lord. And the angel did what was. And Manoah and his wife looked on. He forgot the question. He didn't even refer to it again. Okay? So, this particular angel, right, you can see his response. And the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. The Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And he says, we shall surely die. Because we have seen God. And then he like said, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, you would not have received the burnt offering and a meat offering. Are you following this? So they interacted with angels like God. And he showed us all these things. But at this time, told us, and the woman bore his son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now pay attention here. We need to realize what happened to Samson. Now, it's not far-fetched to know that it is this angel that was working with Samson. So by the time Samson removed the issue of the hair, this angel was angry and left him. It's not the Lord that left him. It was the angel. So they were able to get a hold of him. By the time the angel came back, the angel now did compensation. Do you know the angel responded to Samson? You think it's God that will respond to you when you say, bring this in upon my head. Let us all of us die. Will God respond to that? He can't, because there is no death in God. He said, watch this. I pray thee only, remember me, I pray thee, verse 28, Judges 16, 28, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes. So you can see that himself and the angel, they had the same character. I want to revenge. So he took the pillars and bowed himself, and the house fell on him and everybody. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than the ones he slew in his life. Are you following? So who accomplished this? The Spirit of God? You must be joking. This is the angel. He just said, it's two ways. It's either Samson wanted this to happen, or the angel just said, what's usefulness? Let's do everything at once. So when you talk about the law of sin and death,
It's not an easy rain, no. Eh? It's not an easy rain. That is why when you come to, you see the warnings in the epistles. The warnings were much. Hallelujah. We'll come to it. Let's go to our man, David. Obviously, David's taking out Goliath. He can't be stoned. He can't be stoned. Stone. 1 Samuel 29. And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight. And an angel of God, this is a figure of speech. 1 Samuel 29. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. So, an angel was there. But now let's see something. 2 Samuel 14. You will see something about himself as well. 2 Samuel 14, verse 7, I think. Verse 17. Okay, this was a figure of speech, I believe. The word of my Lord the King shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my Lord the King to discern both good and bad. Because the Lord thy God will be with you. Okay? So he mentioned the wisdom of an angel, same thing in verse 20. According to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all the things that are in the earth. So it's a figure of speech just like 1927. 2 Samuel 1927. Now let's see a particular place. 1927 is also figure of speech. Now look at 24. Watch this. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Now, the Chronicles account of these incidents mentions Satan. Now, it's a bit difficult to think he's talking about the devil. But it's plausible. Okay? It's plausible. Because the word Satan is used for adversary. So it's very plausible. However, look at this. He moved him to number Israel. 24. Look at verse 16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said to the angel, destroy the people, it is enough. Stay thy hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the thresh place of Arunah, the Jebusite. And David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote his brother and said, lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. So, obviously, the stoppage of this was because of David's intercession. David did something here in verse 17. So, if David can do this, there's no way you can blame Job. These folks were basically acting upon a dimmed light. So, you will see anger. Notice this. Go to the Chronicles account. You see where the anger came from. First Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So, who was provoked? Who was provoked? So it seems that we have two things there. We have Satan and we have an angel. We have two things. So the provocation was from where? Who was provoked? Who was provoked? David. David was provoked. Now, go to 1 Kings 13.
First Kings 13. The great man. First Kings 13. Verse 18. This was used to lie anyway. An angel spoke unto me by the word, so we can ignore that. Verse 18. Chapter 19, verse 5. 19, verse 5. Now, I want you to listen very, very well to this. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now, the first murder was carried out by Elijah himself. Okay? He got the angels to bring fire to lick up the trench of water in chapter 18. And then what did he do? You see that Elijah also related, he ministered with angels. In fact, a particular one. And he took the prophets of Baal with his own soldiers, army, and said, don't let them escape. And he brought them down and slew all of them. So, look at the angel in that scenario. The angel sees what? He sees a free reign of what? Murder. And so in chapter 19, watch this. And so he saw that he arose, that's Elijah, and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his house. Now listen to this. This is very vital here. And he was sleeping, and the angel said, touch him, and said, arise and eat, in verse 5. And he looked, and behold, there was cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drank, and let him down again. And the angel said to him, arise, eat. Why did he say, you should finish the food? Because the journey is too great for you. So when you hear that after this, he went without food for 40 days, you must first of all eat food that belongs to angels. Do you understand? He ate and went in the strength of the meat. Can you see it? 40 days and 40 nights until Horeb, the mount of God. That means the food did not digest. So if you go and do 40 days without the food from an angel, I pity you. Do you know that the three people that went without food, they had angels around them? Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. Did you notice that in Jesus' case, pay attention, it was when he was hungry that Satan came. What was happening in 40 days? He was not hungry. Amen? To know that Jesus does not supernaturally go without food. In Mark 11, he was hungry and was looking for food. He was thirsty. In John 4, he was hungry, he sent them to get food. So, that lack of hunger is supernatural. If you go and do your own, that's how you know you don't go and do a bigger fasting. And they say they went to everyone, they saw Jesus, and they always see Satan at the right hand. It is lack of food. When you don't eat, you begin to see all sorts. So, Elijah fasted, the angel said, finish the food! Because the journey is very far. So he now went in the strength of angel food. Do you eat angel food? Amen? So don't copy. Go and copy. You will hear, always be your name. Second Kings 1. Verse 10. Elijah answered the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. What did he say? If I be a man of God. This is the same thing Jesus stopped. And he says, know ye not the spirit that you are of? For the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. Yesterday, we looked at Jesus and angels. Can you remember? So, in whose conduct do we see the Father?
In whose conduct do we see the conduct of fallen man? Angels. Angels just reflect man. You know, it's not difficult for Elijah to destroy his own by himself without angelic assistance. He destroyed people. So, if that one has an angel who excels in strength, are you following what I'm saying? That angel has not sinned. He has not left his estate. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. We explained that sin yesterday. 2 Kings 1:3-5. We were talking about major of the king. So that's not 2 Kings 19:35. So the angel was responding to the spirit Elijah was of, which Jesus' disciples were yielding to. 2 Kings 19. I know yesterday, if it was not possible for that fire to come, Jesus just have laughed it over. But he stopped them. It would have happened. And you know the kind of people his disciples were. They came to take Jesus, and Jesus was answering them, and people fell over, and he started just saying that, this is my hour, this is your hour, and then Peter brought out a sword. What was he keeping it for? I believe he missed the head of Marcus. We thank God. Let me ask you, imagine if he caught Marcus's ear, and he was left like that. And Jesus went away like that. What can you and I say today? Jesus quickly, in the midst of the captivity, just put the ear back. You can see man, anger. Who did they come for? Who was responding? He now said, if I want, I would have sent. Ask for a legion of angels. That means they can do it. But he says that if anybody lives by this word, he will. Hallelujah. That's not the nature of God. You get it? We'll come to that. We'll soon look at that because we are coming to the four gospels. You see that as redemption gained ground, angels changed their occupation. They got born again. The length of God from man. Amen. If you are the angel walking with someone like Joshua, God will be like, I killed everybody. And then he now gets to a place where he needs supernatural help. He sit down, no worry, I'll do this. Because they excel in strength. Amen. Okay, 2 Kings 19. Are you learning something? 35. Came about that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians an 185,000. And when he arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Wow. All dead. Look at 32. He shall not come to the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the way shall he return. I shall not come to this city. I'll defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. I told you something. You know, yesterday we said angels know how to guarantee results. The way they go about it may not be neat. Do you understand? Go and save. Go and save means just make sure that person comes out well. And they destroy along the line. You know, as things went on, in the book of Acts, we'll come to that. They now, we will see that there was a distinction in the book of Acts. There were some inconsistencies. We'll look at it. They now began to save without destruction. That's unlike angels. Why? Because the message that was taught was changing. What was being preached had changed. That's why Peter could say, they desire to look into it. They are also learning. That is why there are some churches that they should not go. We will look at it. It's true. Don't angels cannot reason without man? I thought we looked at that yesterday. And even now, they can't reason without man. So why would angels kill? Death rain. They're asking why would they kill? What else should they be doing? What was man doing? What did Moses say? An eye for an eye. Imagine those angels that say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. He said, if somebody just say, go after him. If he goes and say, go and get him, bring him back and kill him. That's anger. And the angel said, yes, kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Because angels are in man's estate. Are you there? So look at this. So okay. We have looked at 2 Chronicles 21 already. 1 Chronicles 21, sorry. 12 to, okay. You've seen that. Look at 1 Chronicles. I think we'll go back to 1 Chronicles 21. David's case again. Verse 30. Where did I light it? Look at verse 30. After the angel had done his deeds. Verse 29. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at the season in the high place at Gibeon. The more they were using that tabernacle, they were giving those angels a reminder of Moses. Of Moses. They knew what it meant. In verse 30. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid. Of what? He got to the point, he himself was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 32:21. And Lord said, an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders, according to the kingdom of the king of Assyria, so he returned with the shame of his face to his own land. And when he was come to the house of the God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. So they just couldn't do without death, because that was the dispensation they functioned under. Look at one more. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear him. It's not good to be quoting this kind of scripture. Because you remind that angel of what it means. Amen. I'm just joking. Psalm 35:5-6. Let them be as sharp before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Can you see these guys? Let it chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. This is David. This is the psalm of Lord, fight against them that fight me. He knows who does it. Angels. These guys were fairy. Now, I put this in my note. Interestingly, the same person said fight them. Now, in Psalm 51, now says, create in me a new heart. In iniquity was I born. Can you imagine? You are asking for mercy. But look at how he responded. Was he merciful? Was it? The same Moses who had, I'll be merciful, my goodness and my mercy. He saw that in the revelation of the grace of God. Did he act in mercy? He was too angry. He was too angry. So the way he responded to unbelief was almost like, what's your own? He was so angry. That is Moses.
So, look at Ecclesiastes 5:6. We were there yesterday. I think we just got on to it. Say not before an angel is an arrow. He will destroy the work of your hand. Say not that is an arrow. Ecclesiastes 5:6. What did I just say? That means they can move quickly. Before he said I was joking. Something has spoiled too. Isaiah 37 verse 36. Talking about the Assyrians, what we read earlier, same thing. Okay. Isaiah 63 verse 9. Isaiah 63 verse 9. In all the affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and bore them and carried them all the days of old. Now, is this the Holy Spirit or an angel? So, who's the angel of his presence? The Holy Spirit. Which Holy Spirit? So, when he says they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, who is he talking about? Who was vexed? Who did Stephen say they not obey his voice? The angel in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord. That's not the Spirit of God. So when he says Holy Spirit here, don't think he's talking about the angels were spirits. So calling them holy is just saying a different spirit. Don't say it's not the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. It's the same angel in Exodus 23:21 that does not forgive. That you should not anoint. That this angel, it's the angel that closed the sea. That don't annoy this angel, he does not forgive, does not pardon. He is easily provoked. He needs to walk in love. Are you there? Okay. Look at the book of Daniel. So if the disciples who called down fire, who wanted to call down fire, if they are called down fire, what would have made it happen? When they were calling down fire, what did they have in mind? Angels now. Daniel 3:28. Look at this angel. You want to go and rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They came out of the fire. Watch out. Watch this. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the kings of counselors, being gathered together, saw this man. Upon these bodies, the fire had no power, nor was an air of the air seen. Neither were their coats changed, or their coats changed, the smell of fire had passed on them. Then the guy said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, who has sent his angel, divided his hand, trusting him, and have changed the king's sword and yielded their bodies, and they might not serve nor worship any other god except their own God. Now, notice what he did. When the fire was stoked, okay? Look at verse 32. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire, verse 32, slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abba, they were sent. The thing slew, that is the same fire, slew them. The question is that, are you sure it's not an angel that did it? Because the people who went to put them in fire, they died by the fire. I think it's an angel that did it. That same angel. It's not unlikely. Because look at what they said. We will not bow. Our God will deliver us. And that also happened. But they don't know how to deliver without, they always leave something to show power. They just leave a sign that we came here. That's how they learned to do. Okay? So there was wrath in their conduct. Okay? Just like Lot, Abraham in Egypt, you know. Okay. Let's look at Daniel 6:22. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouths of lions that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency, before him innocency was found in him, and also before the O king have I done no hurt. So that was, you know, they didn't kill lions, but they dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. Let's forget what they did to him. Okay. Job 4:18 was an instance, for example. You know, Job 4:18, I think. Let me just read that. He put no trust in his servants and his angels he charged with folly. Eliphaz. Interesting place. Now, you know, I think we read through this yesterday. I think let's just run through that. Psalm 8:5, angels in the plural form. Psalm 8:5, for example. What's the matter? You are mindful of him, made him a little lower than angels. We saw that yesterday. Psalm 68:17. Psalm 78:49. I don't think we have read that one. 78:49. He cast them, the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation, and troubled by sending evil angels. He made a way to his anger. He spared not the soul from death and gave their life over to pestilence. This is in Egypt. Okay? Evil angels. So here it is, angels that did evil. Psalm 91:11. He shall give his angels charge over me. Psalm 103. His angels in plural. Verse 20. Blessed the angels who hearken to the voice of his word. Psalm 104:4. He makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. Psalm 148:2. And a very interesting one. He's asking angels to also dance. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. So in their praise worship, they know they can have angels also participate. The moment of today, people singing with the angels, you are holy. That'll be a problem. So angels had a lot of judgment. For example, the Daniel 5, just run there quickly. Daniel 5, because we want to quickly go to, we're going to read everything. Daniel 5. Nebuchadnezzar, who wrote on the wall. Who wrote mene tekel of asin? Who now? The Holy Spirit. Who did now? You are found, and he says you shall be judged. You are found wanting, you will be judged. Well, that angel that wrote that. By whose instrumentation? Who was the judge? Daniel. He was a judge. Daniel 9:21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. That was the first time the name of an angel will be mentioned. Touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He informed me and said, Daniel, I'm come forth to give this skill and understanding. I've been on the supreme commandment, for I came to show thee, for thou hast greatly beloved, because therefore understand the matter and consider the way. So the angel said, I came when you were praying. Again, responding to them. Daniel, I read 9:21. 8:16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Hulai, and which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Okay? Understand the man for, so the angel made him understand. Verse 27. Look at the, chapter 9 verse 27. Look at the kind of ministries they do. Chapter 9 verse 27. After the angel left him, and shall confirm the covenant which many of for 1 week in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice. No, 8:27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick 7 days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, and none understood it. So, he didn't get angel food, unlike Elijah. He was sick. And that was after the angel left him. Look at another angel that was mentioned was Michael. Daniel 10:13. And the prince of Persia, let's start from 12. And then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, to chasten thyself before God, thy words were what? Heard. And I am come for thy words, because that's how they respond. For the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I almost think that Michael was the one with Moses. Because the way he became chief, you know, we said that the word host yesterday, remember? He qualified to be a chief with exploits in his trail. And you know, it was Saint Michael that John referred to. So he says, and he came to help me, and I remained there with the king of. So this particular angel must have been a dunce. Look, I saw the angels differ. This particular angel just didn't know what to do. So king of Persia. That means he couldn't tackle this one. Michael just came and said, for where? Do you understand? So angels differ as well. What will make, why do you call somebody a chief host in an army? By experience, he has gained the ability to kill. That's why I'm almost convinced that Michael is Moses' angel. Either Moses or Elijah. One of those hefty guys, or Joshua. It must be somebody who knows how to handle things. You know, you don't become a chief. Chief host is not something that is natural. It is, if you look at the way it's used in the Hebrew, it's someone who by the virtue of wars has become a champion. So, he's not somebody that just came from somewhere and is called chief host. No, he has shown the other angels how to do it. And who makes them chief is man. By giving them work to do, they become experienced. It's not unlikely that he will have responded when the disciples say, let's call down fire. How far? Shut up. Or it could be Gabriel. You could see that the way Gabriel shot down Zachariah is something he has been doing. He has been doing it for priests. But I have an issue with priests. the one that said, pay your tithe, or there may be that, I will open the windows of heaven. Who does those things? Where were we? Daniel 10. So, this angel came, I have come to make thee understand that thou shalt befall the people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Daniel 10. So, that other angel was less, needed help, generally. So, Michael is called Prince. What is Prince? Prince is Captain. S-A-R, in the Hebrew, 421 times, a captain. It is accomplished via exploit, or it is acquired via exploit. You see his name in Jude 9. You see, he has an experience. Jude says, he says, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. He was the one that handled the use of Moses' body. See my point? Michael must have been Moses' angel. Who is Michael here? He was not saying, the Lord rebuke me. Where? He contended for Moses' body. That's Moses' angel. Amen. We'll find out Gabriel. I'll pick out Gabriel for you. In the Old Testament. Before Daniel. He was forming gentle with Daniel. But, so you see, he was a captain by the virtue, obviously by rank, he was a captain. Just like evil spirits also, we have more wicked ones. Just like if one goes, he will bring 7 more wicked
That means they know who is who. So if this one just takes your nose, you will remove it. This one can still rub it. It's a virtue of experience. You know, just the same way man learned evil over time, angels also learned it through man. And what they are doing now, by the church, they are relearning it. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? They are relearning. So, they have ranking. The way we say, principalities and power. In Ephesians 6:12, Ephesians 1, you have two different things he's talking about. One, wicked spirits. The other one is talking about the angelic authorities. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and verse 10. Look at the Acts 16. When Paul cast out a demon, that particular demon must be a senior prefect. Because, you cast out a demon somewhere and the whole city rose against you. That's suspect. That one, he says, this one brought much gain, was getting money by the virtue of giving prophecies. You know, in today, how was he getting gain? By prophesying. Who say, he saw it, they go and empty the account in a crusade ground. Amen. That lady that had the spirit of divination, you know, today, if she gets on some church pulpits and they're just playing keyboard, they will say she's a woman of God. And as she was saying those things, she was fetching money. Because she made gain for her masters. Selah. The minute Paul cast out that spirit, they cast him into prison. So that spirit deals with political leaders. Well, why would he say, what is he doing in prison? They say, he cast out a demon. Tell me which law. So, follow this, please. Quickly, Zechariah, our last portion in the Old Testament. Zechariah. So, when you find out that someone like Daniel, all of a sudden, he fell sick after the vision. And that you are doing a series on his vision. Daniel 70 weeks. Clap for yourself. Someone saw a vision and fell sick. Do you know how many times he was sick in Daniel? And you are relying on his vision. Is it not the same thing people see vision today? And they say they saw Jesus standing on the throne of God and the Holy Spirit on David. How can you trust someone like that? How many people quoted Daniel in the epistles? I'm asking a question. How many? Or Paul didn't know him. Did you see Jesus mention Daniel's vision? He didn't. He referred to the fall of Jerusalem, no doubt, but there was no mention. Except once. Just once. So, how many times did the apostles mention them? Mention him. So the same tone with which they took their writings is just like Elijah and Elisha. Most of what we hear about them in the epistles are like rebuke, except James, who said he prayed well. Paul said, if feeling himself, he said, the Lord, they have left you. He said he was interceding against Israel. And the answer of the Lord came back to him and said, no, I have left a remnant for myself. That's a rebuke. Jesus just was dealing with Elijah. Over and over, even with Elijah's senior, John the Baptist, he was Cain. And that is how to handle those prophets. More so, to now be exalting the deeds of angels that walked with them. Hallelujah. Look at this. Zechariah 1:9. The angel talked with me. I just run through this one. So we can just move. Zechariah 1:9, 1:11, 1:12, 1:13, 1:14. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. How can God be jealous? Huh? What is jealousy? It's a work of the flesh.
am jealous for Jerusalem and with Zion with a great jealousy. Okay? Verse 19. Same thing, an angel. Okay. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 1, verse 5, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 1 again. There's a whole lot of angelic action in Zechariah. Then 4, verse 4, 4, verse 5, 4, verse 6, okay, 5, verse 5 and 10. Okay, Zechariah 3:1, Satan stand at the right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. Can you see who they are calling the Lord? Look at Zechariah 3 now. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. Are you seeing it? The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. Who would have been speaking? So sometimes when they say the Lord said, who was talking? Angels. Why? Because when they see angels, they'll say they saw the Lord. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. Zechariah 4, verse 4, 4, verse 5. Okay. 6, verse 4. 6, verse 5. Then 12 and 8. Notice that when they refer to angels, many times, what do they refer to angels? They call Lord. So when you hear the Lord said, you must look at it closely. Are you following what I'm saying? You must look at it. They usually, so like Zechariah, several times called angels Lord. Now let me ask you a question. When Jesus was going to teach in Luke 24, did he explain statements of angels? No. O ye fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Not angels. And did angels talk many times in the Old Testament? Did Jesus do any exegesis on their statements? No. Why? Because man is superior to angels. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounds unto them the things concerning himself. So the things that were taught, explained as the utterances of Christ in the Old Testament, were they from angels or from man? Huh? Were they from angels or from man? Good. So, Jesus taught from prophecies and not from utterances of angels. If prophecies were called shadows or riddles, what do you now want to call what angels will say? Who were hearkening to the voice of riddles? Meanwhile, in the Old Testament, it looked like they were superior messengers. They were not. They were just glorified ignoramuses. So, in Jesus' Bible study, let me go over that again. Did he do any exegesis on angelic statements? It's not possible that his revelation be found in the mouth of an angel. Do you understand? If angels will say at all, they will borrow their thoughts from man. So, I wrote in my note, what a dispensation. You will totally get confused about God looking at man's interactions with angels. Is it clear? Is it very clear? Do you know that the book of Daniel is similar to the book of Revelation?
Very similar.
Now, look at what Paul now says in Colossians 2:18. This is why Paul said what he said. Colossians 2:18.
Now, don't let anybody beguile you.
I told you yesterday that most strange religions, they are always, most of them, they are from encounters with who? Encounters with who?
Angels. Somebody must have entered one bush in Ijebujesha.
Igbo-Ogunu. It says in the worship of angels. Look at that word. Now, let me ask you, were they worshipping angels in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Were they revering angels?
Yes.
And that was what Paul was teaching against. I said that yesterday, the resurrection of Jesus set things in order. Remember yesterday, we saw that yesterday. He set things back in order. Because what is the mystery of godliness? God made manifest in the flesh. Justified in this now scene of. So what was their first encounter to see who God was? In Jesus' resurrection. It was just hit and miss it. Fire and arrow. Just like man. That's to be God. Let's keep. It's in Jesus that they saw God. Hallelujah. You get that? That's like the mystery. So, that was you said earlier yesterday is to serve. Can you remember? To serve God is the word godliness. To serve God. To serve God. To the worship of God. So, both angels and man were found in the same confusion. Angels want to worship God. Man is worshiping angels. What are we doing? All in the realm of darkness. But thank God for Christ the light. So, angels now saw. So, they were as confused as man was. In fact, they were more confused than man. And in man's confusion, he was worshiping angels. So, in Paul, notice that Paul's Colossians 2:18 was in tandem with how he corrected men still following the law. Because if you follow the law, you will worship angels. So, in correcting them, he says, in the voluntary humility of worshiping of and worshiping of angels. That word there is theskeia. T-H-R-E-S-K-E-I-A. It means reverence. It's from the word theskos. T-H-R-E-S-K-O-S. To observe. To be observing angels. If you watch it very well, there was a particular prophet of God in the 20th century. The man's error is first class. His doctrinal error is first class. It almost has no equal. But you know what? There was something about him. He had angels always showing in his meetings. It's not difficult to know why he entered doctrinal error. He was listening to angels. Are you following what I'm saying? Paul warned about this. Notice that he says this when he was talking about not following the law. Let nobody beguile you. The word to beguile is to what? To deceive. In verse 8, let nobody spoil you. Said in verse 16, let nobody judge you. In meat, drink, rest on a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath day. Look at angel communication. Go back again. Don't forget what we said about Acts 10. You want to say, Peter, somebody had prayed. He wants salvation, Cornelius. An angel said, I'll work on it. He goes to Peter in a vision. And look at the language of threats. Arise, kill, and eat. The guy was arguing. What God has cursed, don't come on. He was not explaining anything. That's angel communication. You don't expect them to say things well. When the Spirit spoke to Peter, he said, don't doubt. Three men seek me. Go and talk to them. Very clear. Three words. But that angel took how many people? I said, arise, kill, and eat. Three times. That's the way they talk.
How is kill and eat same thing as preach? You will be confused. That's where Peter came out and he was confused. So go back to the Old Testament and see how confused you will be when angels are talking. Preach to Gentiles, use animals. It means stop this. The same angel was killing people for eating those animals. Now you are seeing Christ has come. Christ has come. What do I use? I use animals. So when Paul says, don't let anybody beguile you in the worshiping of angels. Why? Angels, this will be in symbols and visions. He says, which he has seen. Intruding in what? In the things which he has not seen. I like that word intruding. It's the word embattuo. E-M-B-A-T-E-U-O. It means to incur, to step into. To stand on something you have not seen. To stand on something you have not seen, which he has not seen. To stand on something. He said, not holding the head from all the body and by joints and bands of nourishment ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. That is, he doesn't have respect for the revelation of Jesus. So, nobody has a right now to give us a message from an angel. There can be direction, an angel just comes to play his role. Don't go here, go here. Not to give us insight into God. Go and watch, I thought it was religions, go and watch most, including Islam. They are built on angelic visitations. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the point will be this. When Paul says, increase visitations you are not saying, what he was saying was this. I will explain to you. What he was saying was this. You will not be able to decipher which one is of God and is not of God. It's only through the head that you will know. The headship of Christ. That was why he said, Satan himself, he masquerades as an angel of light. So when you build information on visions, you are prone to error. Who's following what I'm saying here? Is that clear? You are prone to error. We are not to receive information like that. Let's go further. So what was Paul haggling about? It was symbols and visions. That is in the realm of angels. Symbolism and visions are the realm of angels. Let's look at the four Gospels. Amen. Interestingly, where we have least information is the epistles. We have much to say. Hallelujah. Because we have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Quickly, the most prominent, did you also discover that aside the temptation of Jesus before he began his ministry fully in Matthew 4, you will not see the ministry of angels again until his resurrection. Who has observed that before? Does that register to you now? The most activities were before he was born. I'll give it to you quickly. Matthew's Gospel 1:20, Matthew's Gospel 1:24, Matthew's Gospel 2:13, Matthew's Gospel 2:19. Then Matthew's Gospel 28:2 and 28:5. That will be what is okay. Matthew's Gospel 1:11. Sorry, Luke's Gospel 1:11, Luke's Gospel 1:13. Luke's Gospel 1:18, Luke's Gospel 1:19, Luke's Gospel 1:26, Luke's Gospel 1:28, 30, 34, 35, 38, before Christ came, when Zacharias was struck dumb. Luke's Gospel 2:9, 10, 13, and 21.
Then go to Luke's Gospel 22 verse 43. So it appears like the more Jesus ministered, the less of angels we saw. Who's following what I'm saying here? Were they there? Were they around? So, in a New Testament ministry, you do not focus on angels at all. People have said that they're teaching angels because of protection. You don't have to. Hallelujah. You don't have to. I have done it before. You get it? You don't have to. The more you say it, people's attention often leaves Jesus. Intruding in the things which he has not what? Who's following this? Okay, look at this. Luke 22, verse 43. Then an angel appeared, an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. This was at Gethsemane. When he had prayed, or when he was praying. And then strengthened him. Luke's Gospel 22:43. Now look at Matthew 26. I think. Let's see a statement Jesus made. Verse 52. Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Think thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Hallelujah. So, that means angelic ministry can distort the will of God. That if I decide they should come, they will come. They don't have any choice. But it will delay the will of God. So, who would angels will respond to whose desires? Man. Hallelujah. So, you will see that their activities increase after. Let me just quickly run through this. Now, the Bible says it, just write it down, I'll come back to it. That in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, that Jesus will come with the angels in flaming fire. 1 Timothy 5:21 calls it the elect angels. We mentioned that yesterday. Do you know what Jesus will come with the angels to do in judgment? He's coming to teach them judgment. You know, they don't know what judgment is. Hallelujah. They will learn judgment by the love of God. They have not known judgment. So when you see, we shall judge the angels, I want to ask you, is it the evil alone or the good and the bad? Eh? Eh? I'll leave that for another day. John 5. I always like to leave things. John 5. Like, go and be looking for which angels to judge. John 5 verse 4. The man was waiting for an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first entered the trouble of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Was this said by anybody? This was just what they believed. Superstition. Why didn't Jesus now talk about that angel? Jesus said, come, and get healed. They were getting healed by superstition. You know, it happens in the east and somewhere in the southwest too. John 12, and some people use this, where's the angel to trouble the water? You're that angel. You are that angel that troubled the water for you to be healed. Okay. Come on, show it. Jesus did not go near the water. He just called the guy to leave the water and come here. That's what he did now. And we are building sermons on the water. There's nothing you cannot preach out of the Bible. In John 12:29, they thought they heard the voice of an angel.
So they always mistaken things. They thought that when they heard, I will glorify it again. They thought they heard the voice of an angel. So the same people were the people that said an angel was stirring the water. It was just superstition. That is, angels used in the singular. Every time Jesus used angels, used it in the plural, in his parables and about the rapture. I'll run through that. Matthew 4:6, that was his temptation, plural. Matthew 4:11, his temptation. Matthew 13:39, as reapers. Matthew 13:41 and 49. Matthew 13:39. Matthew 13:41 and 49. Matthew 16:27. Matthew 18:10. Are you there? Matthew 24:31, talking about the end times, and 36. Matthew 25:31 and 41. Matthew 24:31, 24:36, 25:31 and 41. He mentioned Satan and his angels there. That is angels in the plural. In Matthew 22:30, he mentioned angels in the resurrection. Matthew 26:53. Angels at the resurrection as well. Angels in the resurrection. No, angels' body and man's resurrection. That's Matthew 22:30. Matthew 26:53 is the angel at the resurrection. Then Mark 1:13. Mark 8:38. Mark 12:25. Mark 12:25. Okay. When he talked about angels, that they are not given in marriage. I'm coming to that soon. Like angels in heaven. Mark 12:25. Mark 13:27. Angels at the last day. The angels. Gather the elect. End time events. Mark 13:32. No man knoweth. Not the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Luke 2:15. That's angels in the plural form now. Luke 4:10, temptation. Luke 9:26. Luke 9:26. Again, at the end time. Luke 12:8. Whosoever confesses me before the angels of God. So they also listen to your confession. Luke 12:9, I will deny before the angels of God. Luke 15:10, when they see someone repent, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Luke 15:10. Luke 20:36. Same thing we read about man. His body in the resurrection and angels. Luke 24:23. Those who saw, that's in the resurrection again. John 1:51. Very vital scripture. John 1:51. I want us to open that quickly. John 1:51. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That ascending and descending, it is to look at a wonder. Hallelujah. John 20:12. You know, ascending and descending in, I'll show something. Ascending and descending in the Greek is like, you are coming up and down like this. It's excitement. Okay? John 20:12. At what they saw. The two angels in white, these are the resurrection again, sitting at the head, and the other say, where the body of Jesus has been laid? John 20:12. And no more. Now, did you discover that we don't find exploits again? Why? Not one single exploit of an angel. Why do you think that was so? Why was it so? Not one single exploit of an angel. Well, I said they had no one to destroy or kill. But they will have done it in Luke 9.
Are you following this? Go to Luke 2, verse 13. Something changed their countenance. Luke 2, 13. Suddenly, these are the birth of Jesus, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That after the angel said, "Lo, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." When last did you hear them say things like this? In the Old Testament. And it says, and there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, look at what they said. Let's take 14 together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill. Goodwill. Peace is used for health, wholeness, hyrene. E-I-R-E-N-E. 92 times. The word goodwill, favor, eudokia. E-U-D-O-K-I-A. It means favor or pleasure. Favor is used 9 times. 9 times. Matthew 11, 26. Luke 2, 14. Luke 10, 21. Used of God. Pleasure. Ephesians 1, 9. Ephesians 1, 5. Philippians 2, 13. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11. Used for God. So when he says favor, that means the desire of God is amongst men. The desire of God is amongst men. So they had a glimpse. You could see that they were glimpsing. They were looking at something. But it was not clear. It was not clear. Matthew 8:26, 22, as well. You see them also at the resurrection. So in the ministry of Jesus, did you find Jesus using angels? I'm asking a question. Did they minister to him? Yes. But he didn't use angels. Amen. Amen. So we'll soon come to the epistles or after the resurrection. Because we said, Jesus, the God made manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, then seen of angels. So from his resurrection, there is a clarity to angels as touching who God is. So whatever they did before was in consonance with man. They learn of God through man. Like I mentioned to you, God does not interact with angels directly. He interacts with angels through who? Man. Do you know, when he was going to reveal himself to angels, was through who again? Yes, don't forget. What is man that you are mindful of him? It was through who? Man. So angels are students to man. And whatever man teaches them, they do. Amen. All right, I'll give you 5 minutes break.